I don't have a good joke. Does Paul have a good joke?
Not that.
Not that
somebody hadn't already heard.
Mine are probably just not appropriate. We're going to try to end a little bit early so that we can get the room set up for the RASBO meeting that's after us. So we've got about 35 minutes to get through our agenda. I don't think that'll be a problem. So welcome, everybody. Hope you made it up there okay through the traffic. I know it was a funny story for me and several others I've heard, so especially those of us that don't like celebrities, like city traffic. But we're going to start off today with a financial audit report. The auditors are here. Jeff is sitting at the head of the table, so we can kind of run that part of the meeting. I'll let you take over, Jeff. And introduce the auditors and get moving. I think everybody has the audit report, right?
Yeah, everybody should have the audit report. Another good audit. Congratulations, Richard. We have Matt Zollinger here from Larson Certified Public Accountants, and he's going to present the audit to us.
All right.
He's all warmed up and ready to go.
Yeah.
Can't have rehearsal.
I'm excited to be here, excited to present this information. I personally enjoy going through the information, so I hope you guys do as well. We laid out our audit report, but I know some people have kind of come in and filled in. So if nobody has one, we do have some more copies that we can hand out.
Maybe so, raise your hand if you don't have one. There we have one.
All right. Nice. So my name is Matt Zollinger. I'm the audit manager on the audit. I've been working on it for multiple years now, so I'm excited to be here and present this information. And we're just going to jump right into the financial statements, and we're going to first go to the audit opinion, which is on page 3, the independent auditor's report. So, we were engaged to audit the financial statements and express an opinion on them for the association for the year end June 30th, 2018. It is our responsibility to express an opinion on these financial statements based on our audit, and we do perform the audit under auditing standards generally accepted in the United States of America and the standards applicable to financial audits contained in the government auditing standards issued by the Comptroller General of the United States. It's management's responsibility to prepare the fair presentation of the financial statements, and it's just our responsibility to express an opinion on the financial statements. So as we go through the audit, we do review kind of the internal controls of the organization, but we do not express an opinion on those controls. They are just used to assist us in obtaining sufficient audit evidence to express an opinion on the financial statements. And as we've gone through the audit, we do believe that we have received sufficient audit evidence to express an opinion. And in our opinion, the financial statements referred to in this report are presented fairly in all material respects. So we express a clean opinion on the financial statements. And within the financial statements, there are some required supplementary information, some various schedules and reports. These items we do not express an opinion on. However, we do review these items in the financials to look for consistency with the financial statements and to look for any material misrepresentations or misstatements. And as we perform that review, we did not find anything, and so they are included in the financial statements. However, we do not express an opinion directly related to those. And one of those items is the management discussion and analysis. This is at the beginning of the financial statements. This is prepared by management to give additional information that's not typically included in the financial report, in the footnotes or the financial statements. So for additional information, that's a good place to look at for some additional insight. So just jumping into the financial statements, we're going to begin on the statement of net position, which can be found on page 12 of your report. So as we present the financial statements, we like to just present some of the significant changes or significant items of the financial statements. So beginning on page 12 of the statement of net position, the cash and cash equivalents line item. This did increase from the prior year, and to see kind of the reasoning for that, you can review the statement of cash flows, which is on page 14. On page 14, it kind of breaks out the different activity of the cash flow. The cash flow from operating activities has a positive number there. There weren't too significant of changes within that. The biggest change that occurred during 2018 to the cash flow happened within the investment income, or the cash received from investing activities. And this is a result of improved performance of the PTIF. I think 2.5% this last year, which is a little bit up from the prior year. So then going back to the statement of net position, and as I go through this, feel free to bring up any questions that you might have, additional items that you'd like some insight on. Just let me know. The other item on the statement of net position, the premium tax, within the current assets, there's a premium tax receivable line item. The prior year, the premium tax was a payable as of year end. And this year, it is now being shown as a receivable, mainly due to a decrease in the premium tax rate. It went down from 4.1% to 3.8%. And some timing of different payments and related items. The premium tax receivable or payable is kind of an estimate of the association. Premium taxes are paid on a calendar year, and so we're kind of required to estimate what the liability is as of June 30th. Due to the fiscal year reporting requirement of the association. And so, that's kind of the reasoning behind that estimate and that receivable as of year end. Any questions with that? Okay, so moving on to the statement of revenues, expenses, and change in net position, which is on page 13 of the report. This statement, there was a slight change in the presentation of this statement compared to prior year, but we did reclassify the prior year presentation to conform with the current year. So in the notes of the financial statements, there is a reclassification footnote referring to that. The main reclassification that was made is in the premiums line item, and we are now showing that net of reinsurance. That's more of a traditional way of reporting with insurance entities, showing premiums net of reinsurance, and so we move that up there. And then within the benefits and expenses, we broke it out a little bit more to help with the tie out to some additional footnotes that are in the financial statements. So kind of keeping a finger in page 13, we can go to footnote 9, the unpaid claims, losses, and loss adjustment expense, which is on page 30. And this footnote kind of breaks out your incurred and paid claims during the year and how it, you know, the impact of those related to the current year and prior year numbers. And so the current year incurred that $2,376,000. That is the current year incurred, which then kind of ties to another note. And I'm going to kind of try to take you through a little bit, kind of tying the numbers out within the footnotes. So on page 32, there is a schedule of 10-year claims development information. And that current year number will tie to section 3 of the estimated incurred claims and expenses line for the current year of the 2.3. But going back to page 30 of that note, the total incurred number of the 2.6, that's the number that ties back to the income statement for your loss and loss adjustment expense of the 2.6. Sorry if that's a little confusing. But just one other item I wanted to kind of point out within, on page 30, with that, within that unpaid claims, that total incurred, one of the reasons why your income statement increased during the year, as you can see within this incurred item, if you look at the prior year numbers, during 2017, there was some negative loss development related to previous year claims, that 738. The current year, that has decreased to about 300. And so your current year financial results have kind of improved, and that's one of the reasoning why. So then to kind of go along with that, that 10-year claims development information that is found on page 32. That report is a good reference to look at the detail behind those developments of your paid claims and your incurred. So looking at the sections 4 and 5, that kind of breaks out your paid and incurred, and it will show you, if you look kind of at fiscal year 2009, as of year end 2009, the paid related to 2009 was 645, but by, you know, 9 years later, that total paid has increased to 1,820. So this schedule kind of shows you the development of your paid and incurred claims over the years. Any questions related to that? So just to kind of finish up with the income statement, we did a little bit of breaking out this year just to kind of help go from the income statement to tie into those various notes in the financials. Any questions with that? Any?
Pretty ready for it.
Okay. That was really all that I wanted to cover on those, kind of on the financial statements. So if there's no additional questions related to that, we'll go to some more of the note letters that are included at the end of the report. So the first letter can be found on about page 38 of the report provided to you. And this is our report over internal controls. And I slightly mentioned this at the beginning, But, you know, our responsibility is to express an opinion on the financial statements, and we do not express an opinion on the internal controls of the organization. It's management's responsibility to have appropriate internal controls. However, as we go through the audit, if there's any material weaknesses or significant deficiencies, we will bring those to the attention of management and the audit committee. As we went through our audit, there were no such items noted, and so we did not bring to the attention any of those items to the board. We do have a recommendation that we will go over in a minute related to the internal controls, but it's more of just a recommendation, and we'll talk about that in a minute. Anything else on that? Okay. So going to the next report, it's the next report after the report on internal controls. This is our auditor's report on state compliance based on the requirements from the state audit guide. And similar to financial reporting, we do not express an opinion on the internal controls over compliance, but we do, as part of our responsibilities, we do audit and express an opinion on aspects of the compliance requirements that are included in the state compliance auditing guide. And the items that we did review during this current year are budgetary compliance, compliance with the Utah Retirement Systems, the Open and Public Meetings Act, Treasurer's Bond, and the Utah Public Finance website. Every 3 years, we'll do additional review over compliance requirements, but that doesn't fall until next year. So next year, we'll do a little bit more review of those. And so, in our opinion, the association is in compliance with those requirements. And we don't have any findings or recommendations specific to compliance. Any questions with that? Additional insight or? Okay. So, like I mentioned, as part of our audit, we do use internal controls to obtain appropriate audit evidence. And as we review those controls, we do look for potential recommendations or things that could improve the process integrity of the organization. This year, due to some of the changes within the claims department, we did focus a little bit more on the process over claims. And like I mentioned, there were no material weaknesses or significant deficiencies, but as part of that review, we did come up with an additional recommendation that we'd like to present to you today. So there is a management letter that was distributed, and this includes our recommendation to the organization. And the organization has some controls in place over larger claims that occur, and that can be paid or setting the reserves on those claims. Anything over $25,000 will go through a very detailed review within the claims department and with the board. It's presented. However, if there's smaller claims under that $25,000 amount, there's less formal controls over those changes. And so it's our recommendation to set more of a formal process with those smaller claims that potentially includes a random review of a few of those transactions. And so that's our recommendation, to implement some type of a control over those smaller claim amounts.
Do you feel like there's a risk with those smaller claim amounts? I mean, is...
Yeah. And, you know, we do understand the, you know, the majority of the risk is with the larger transactions. And, you know, the association can only do so much. We understand that, you know, in a perfect world, everything would be, you know, processed and reviewed and go through that. But, you know, we understand with a smaller organization, those processes aren't necessarily achievable, realistic. So that's why, you know, we recommend that there's a smaller review, maybe a random couple that are reviewed each month even, because the risk is lower and, you know, it's understandable.
But we've had other organizations where they set those thresholds for review, and people know that, and so there's been fraud or other things that have occurred. Because
they know the thresholds.
They know the thresholds, and they didn't do anything under it. So they used it to steal hundreds of dollars. And so hundreds of thousands of dollars. And so, I mean, that's just a concern. You know, whenever you have those thresholds, there's the possibility of, well, okay, we know this is a threshold. Nobody cares what's going under that. And so you just have to be careful.
Okay. So you're not... asking us to lower that threshold, or it's basically anything from a dollar to $25,000. You're suggesting that we just randomly
or you can
pull some
or however you want to do it, you know. We're just saying, or you can say, well, one's, I guess you need to determine where your pain point is, right? Do you want to have something that's between 10 and 25, or do you, and have a different process, or depending on who's reviewing it, you have a different adjuster review it or whatever. Or, you know, you can set that those thresholds how you want, just depending on what you feel your pain points are and what risk you're willing to take, right?
Okay. All right, thank you.
Richard, what is your perspective on this?
You know, we were thinking we were going to take some time this morning and talk about it. I think Stephanie's, she's president. She's got a really smart idea of what we do, and probably to bring this back to our December meeting, actually, and have some more conversation around that after everybody's had an opportunity to read the letter, and we would talk about it.
I think, given we're a little short on time, if anybody wants to give this some thought, and Richard can walk us through the process at the December meeting, and or we can help him determine if he wants to make some changes to how he does that, how his people do that, or it'd be nice to discuss it today, but I think we're going to run out of time before the next meeting starts.
Bruce, I guess it maybe my answer to your question really would be, you know, I think we ought to look at the whole picture here, and so maybe even broaden it beyond what they're saying here. Maybe we ought to take a look at all of that and say, okay, you know, the 25 to 50 that the committee looks at, you know, is that adequate, or maybe that ought to be adjusted slightly, and then those that come to the board, you know, where should that be? Sherry and I have talked about this a little bit. She's got a couple of great ideas that I think maybe we ought to look at. To me, the bottom line is, you know, what should we do here that would be the most effective, and then provide the assurance, you know, that the claims reserves are accurate, they're correct, and that we're giving you the information that you would like to have so that you feel that same kind of assurance. So anyhow, I think it would be just a great opportunity to look at the whole process that we have there and see where that we're at.
Okay, so we'll put that on the agenda for the December meeting to kind of spend a little bit more time on.
Yeah.
Okay. Any other questions for our auditors? Okay. Thank you very much. Appreciate the report.
Yes, Matt and all the hard work. Martha, thank you very much for coming. You guys have always done a great job for us.
We won't make you do it a third time today. Okay. Moving on. Take a look at the approval of the minutes. Minutes are behind tab 3. We have a motion to approve last meeting's minutes. Can I have a second?
Second.
Robert? Okay, Helen Robert. Thank you. And approve the financial report for June through August, which is tab 4. Anybody have any questions on the financials before? Okay. Can I get a motion to approve them? And I'll jump in.
I'll move to. Okay.
Tracy and Keith. Tracy second.
You're supposed to say, please.
Okay, so we'll move into the exciting stuff, into our committee reports. Executive committee, we want to discuss meeting dates, but we've got that down lower on the agenda. So let's move to the discussion of the Price Waterhouse rate reset. I think if you all recall, the last couple of meetings, we've kind of discussed that, how the rates are set and whether or not we should continue to do it historically or whether or not it's time to take a look at that and do a reset on those. Richard was telling me if we want to go forward and have that work done to take a look at it and to see what the impact is to all the different districts, it's going to cost some money, probably about $40,000, to do that kind of work and get that kind of answer. How's everybody feeling about getting that kind of answer? I know there was a few districts that had some stronger feelings about it our last couple meetings.
What's the end game, I guess, for that data dive? I don't know if I missed the last meeting or maybe know what the purpose of doing that is.
You want to explain that a little bit? Your background's better than
you know, I think that we've had a few districts that express some concern about the rates and, you know, and how we have the capping and the effect of that over time. Has that worked to anybody's disadvantage or advantage? Okay. And so the conversation, I think, when we had up at Park City with the actuaries was to take a look at that, go back and take a relook, and maybe then we ought to do what was coined, do a rate reset on that based upon that analysis. Now, that doesn't mean we would have to do that. We could still get the report, and then we could come back to where that we're at now if we wanted to. I think there probably would be some value in doing that so that everybody feels good about where we're at with those rates and that they see the integrity of the process and the rates and what we have gone through over time. Now, is it going to make a big difference? Is somebody going to, you know, have a big savings from it? No. Is anybody going to see a huge increase? Probably not. Is there going to be some reallocation? Yep, there would be. That's exactly what the idea would be. So it'd be shifting that around. The bottom line to the premiums we collect is not going to change. That number is set by the actuaries, and then it's allocated across all of the districts based upon, you know, your rate relativity and your losses. And so that's what they would do, is go back and take a look at that. And I think most all of you who were there and heard that discussion. So I think that probably would be something that would be of value. And it's what I would see the process to look like, as we would probably have them work with Paul and the rating committee over the next couple of months or a couple of meetings. So like in December and February. And then they would bring back that report to us either in February or in April, and as to whether we would do a rate reset. So we could have a report that would show, okay, so if we stayed with what we're doing, here would be the rates. We did a rate reset. Here's what they would look like. And then we could decide as a board here which direction we wanted to go. Paul, any thoughts you have or had since?
No, I know that's kind of been a discussion over the last couple of years, that we're getting a spread that's really not the natural way to do it. So probably is a good idea to try it. I don't know if $40,000 is worth it, but if it makes everybody sleep better, then yeah, let's do it.
Well, if the spread's just going to keep going, right? We're just going to keep continuing it unless we do a reset. Is the spread from day one? Is it, or is it 10-year? We don't roll it, right? We're not taking 10.
No.
Yeah.
But I don't know if it, you know, what you said, Richard, just there's not going to be a lot of districts that are, you know, have savings. or a lot that'll cost more. So the reset might be just semantics, basically saying, so you know that it's been done and done properly.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
To give everybody a good feel. So I think it's fine.
Any other thoughts?
Could they recommend a different way going down the road after that, or
Would we still be doing it like we've been doing it? 5-year, 10-year?
Yeah, I think there was some talk about doing like a 5-year smoothing or a 10-year, you know, some periodic kind of smoothing into that, Kent. And I think, you know, they feel great about what we have been doing, you know, very, very comfortable and confident of what has, you know, we've been doing with our process. Of course, the thing, you know, that all actuaries would like to see is for your rates to be based on your actual loss experience and not do any capping. That's what they would like to see. And the effect of that, obviously, is then you're going to see your rates do this porpoising thing.
That's the purpose of the pool.
And then, you know, that's the purpose of this pool, is to kind of, you know, level that off and cap it because of the size of districts and claims you'd have. So what we've done, yeah, I think they feel really good about the process and how we do that, you know, the rating committee and, you know, collecting payroll. So all of that, I think they just feel great about it. We're the ones who've raised it to them and saying, hey, some of our members are a little uncomfortable here. And so that's where that has originated from.
They could be uncomfortable, though, and when it was all said and done, they might still be uncomfortable if their rates don't change.
Yeah.
But maybe like Paul said, maybe everybody feels better, you know, something happened. I don't know. What we've done is done what you said, but it's kind of smoothed it out instead of having ups and downs.
I think it was Wasatch that saw a big swing from day one on, and so the feeling was we needed to kind of take a look, see if what we're doing is causing all of, you know, that. And makes a good point that ought to be addressed. So,
yeah,
I'm fine with it. Maybe in 10 years, Kent, you and I can come and take a look and see how.
You can hire us as consultants.
Yeah. Okay, so
take
40,000. I'll split it with you.
I'm good with that, Paul.
Yeah.
Okay, so
a little confusion then, because you're saying there won't be much swing, so then what would be the advantage of doing it then?
I think it would be more of being able to provide the assurance back to our board here, you know, the process and the rates and the integrity of the rates themselves, and saying, okay, yeah, this is what NEBO, you know, really ought to
be. Are they going to separate the districts then? And
yes, it absolutely
would
be. Is
that going to cause problems then?
That was my question, winners and losers.
Yeah, that's my worry.
And it can. I mean, that's the side of that. But I think it would, and that's where, again, I think it will be really nice, is it's not anything that we have to do. We can take a look at it and say, okay, you know, let the rating committee look at it. You know, those guys have been in place for a long time. Let them look at it and go, you know, yeah, this would be a good idea, and they could come back with their suggestion, or to work directly with the actuary and say, hey, you know, why don't you put together this kind of a schedule and look at that. So some different kinds of options maybe just to look at. I think that there's probably some little changes that we could make. And so I want to make sure everybody knows that, you know, it's probably some little changes that would be made, is about like that. But maybe if that's, you know, to give everybody that kind of comfort level, I think it's probably worthwhile, you know, to take a look at it. I think it's probably a good idea. And the end result probably is not going to be significant, but at least everybody will have a very high comfort level, I think, of the entire process, how the rates are set, and that we don't have, you know, somebody that's being caught. Yeah, as we're adjusting and having that capping. So, anyhow, I think that's, you know, where we're at. But that's up to you, you know, today. I think if you see the value of that and of moving forward with it.
Besides Wasatch, is anybody else, Dan or you, Do you think it's necessary?
Well, I don't think Wasatch was the only one.
Yeah, I think there were three or four.
Where we build the next year's premium based on the prior year, if you get stuck up here, it seems to stay for quite some time. I mean,
but we all see this porpoising a little bit all the time. It's not a, you know, I used to get messed up because I'd see a huge increase, but it's because our payrolls are increasing. Mm-hmm. If you took that out of the equation, the swings are minimal because of the 0.5, 5.15.
I think what we were seeing though is in a lot of cases, their districts have similar payrolls, and it's quite
well. And that's true, but at the same time, I know that Nebo, for example, probably has the best, really good risk management team out there. So you deserve to get a breakdown again, as opposed to we don't have it.
We had the flesh eating disease, so
yes.
And that's what I'm saying, but our premium's high enough that at some point we'll pay that off. If that happens in Tinnick, I mean, a million years, they're not
right.
Their premium isn't gonna pay off that, so.
I think it's hard to compare this payroll to payroll because of the claim history. So somehow that's got to be
absolutely.
And I think even with minimal adjustments, one of the dangers at the end is there'll be winners and losers. But we all look at our own thing and go, "Oh, I did okay. I'm good with this," you know, or "I don't like it." So that is one of the dangers that you have at the end.
I guess just we need to be careful that there's not winners and losers already.
I can really see the pros and some cons, but I guess good information.
Do you want to vote on whether we should go forward?
Yeah, I think we ought to. We're going to be spending that amount of money. I think that would be a good thing for us to do.
I wouldn't mind if the rating committee were to look at it before we commit to the end of the life.
So let the rating committee do some work on it.
Yeah, is there a less expensive way to get this information?
You know, I think that I really appreciate you wanting to be conservative and with that, but you know, I think maybe that's a good idea. Let the rating committee take a look at it. But if we're going to have something in place for this next year, we're going to have to that's got to happen pretty quick. Because there's going to be a lot of work by the actuaries of putting that together. Now, I can tell you, whenever we have them go through and set the rates for us each year, that runs us about $40,000. And then when we do the reserve analysis that you have in front of you here right now, which is to me the most important document right there, that's about $40,000. So that's typically what we pay them when we engage them to do some work. And so that's not exorbitant. I don't think that that's anything that we ought to worry about. I think the most important thing is to make sure that all of you feel just a high level of confidence that those rates that you're paying is fair for the whole pool and accurate and correct and maybe even more important that everybody understands why you're paying that amount of money. So anyhow, so I think it would be worth our while. To me, I think if we're going to do it, I think we got to get rolling on it. But I think, Darren, I think to your question, I think we ought to have the rating committee would be the ones that work directly with the actuary on it, so that you guys are heavily involved in that process.
I make a motion that we proceed with that and we go ahead and get that done straight away.
Okay. That's good. Thank you.
I'll second the motion.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Paul and Rob. Okay. We want to make everybody wait.
Vote. You need to vote on that.
Oh, yes. Sorry. Thank you. I'm so worried about the time. All in favor of Paul's motion to move forward? Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, motion passes.
I think Sherry's got, you need to report.
Two
really quick ones, right?
Two quick claims, and that's claims. We need to, can I have a motion to go into closed session?
Mr. Rod, I'll second the motion.
Wow. All in favor? I remember this time, for once. Okay, loss control, do you have a quick report for us?
We do. I just handed out the Cat in the Hat report comparing last year's number to this point in time in the year and this year. And you got a C for cost, an A for number of accidents, and a T for $10,000 plus claims. So you can track and see how you're doing there. And we'll track that each time we meet. See how we do by the end of the year.
Okay. Thank you for the quick report. Okay, last couple items. We need to talk about our next couple meetings for December and then our meeting that we do in July up in the hills. We're looking at the 6th or 7th of December at 10 o'clock for committees and 11 o'clock for the group. Either of those days work better or worse. It's a Thursday and a Friday.
Let's do them both.
No. Got a funeral to go to in the middle?
It's always that's the funnest meeting of the year.
That is the funnest meeting of the year. Okay, so nobody has any issues with anything in particular?
What were those dates? December what?
6th and 7th. It's a Thursday and a Friday. Is there a preference over Thursday or Friday for this meeting?
Thursday would be better.
Thursdays? I'm hearing a few Thursdays. So 6th? Okay. Let's plan on the 6th at 10 o'clock. And then our meeting in the summer appears to probably be in Midway this coming next year. And we're looking at the 17th of July. The 24th is kind of in the middle of the week this next summer, so scheduling around the 24th is kind of odd. Any issues with that date? 17th, could it be 17th and 18th or other?
Yeah, actually we would be the 16th and 17th.
So it'd be the 16th and 17th with the insurance.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Midway meaning?
We would be
Shermatt.
Back at Shermatt. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I think that was kind of the feedback that we got at our meeting this last year, is that you would kind of prefer for us to go back there, at least look at that again. And so they are available. We could have it that weekend there. If that was the date we wanted to meet.
What's the possibility of moving it maybe Thursday, Friday, or Wednesday, Thursday, Friday? I have board meetings on Tuesday, and I have no idea where our July one is for this next year. I probably shouldn't
know that,
but does anybody else have board meetings earlier in the week?
I do.
Might have a possible conflict on a Tuesday or Wednesday.
On a Wednesday,
I just know that sucks when it comes up. The conference is during one of the board meetings. For me, it does, because I have to drive a little bit.
We could look at that last week.
Are you check out the last week. July,
they rotate all over the place.
What about the week of, what if we waited until after the 24th holiday and went to the 30th and 21st? Makes a little bit later, but, and then we'd probably try to get you, ASBO, to do the meeting on the 29th. 30th. Is that putting anybody in any tight spots with their audits starting and closing out their financials? And
we're doing a Monday.
Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That doesn't matter.
That's fine. I thought I should have just kept my mouth shut. I didn't, so next time I'll listen.
So are you being overridden then? We're going back to the...
That's fine. Whatever. Yeah, whenever's fine.
Oh, you want to set the board schedule?
No.
What?
Can't you get a brutal to you propose it?
Where are you doing for it? That's for him. Okay, so does everybody want to go back to 16th and 17th then? A little closer to our normal dates?
So, okay. Then we'll have you ASBO on the 15th.
And then we'd have you ASBO on the 15th probably if we can. Okay.
15th, 16th. Sounds good.
So the 15th, 16th, and 17th?
15th, yeah. 16th, 17th for this group, and then the 15th would be the ASBO meeting.
Okay.
We'll talk to Brooke about that. Okay. Any other business anybody's got they want to cover? Okay, then can I get a motion to adjourn? Okay. God, why did I just blank out? Carrie? A second?
Second.
Tracy, thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. All right.
If we could get all of your help here.